Hi, this is Megan Allen. My number is 242-192.
172 is going to be Miss Allen.
Yes.
The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will serve as your lead, and he will be conducting your hearing, so just hold on.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Good morning, Ms. Allen. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry? Yes?
Okay, could you just state your name, your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Megan Allen. My ADC number is 242-192.
Okay, Ms. Allen, you're here before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. You have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, and I am Mike Johnson. I'll be acting as your lead this morning.
Okay.
Ms. Allen, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that
form? I'm sorry. I can't really understand or hear you clearly.
Okay. Prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, I do.
On that form, you are also notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I don't have an attorney.
Okay, so you'll be representing yourself today?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yes.
Also with us here representing the Department of Corrections as well as the parole officers, Mr. Westby. At this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God to do you so far?
Yes.
I do.
Ms. Allen, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will determine the terms and conditions of your community supervision and how they're violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, Ms. Allen, I need you to say whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I also see that you have a booking number and a DR number on your warrant, so I'm going to also give you the opportunity to plead the fifth, okay?
I'm sorry?
I see that you have a booking number and a DR number on your warrant. Which means that there may be another charge or something with it where you may be in a court process. All of these hearings are tape recorded. So in order for, we want to also give you the option that you can even state that it's true, false, or you can take the fifth, okay?
Okay.
The allegation number one states that you have violated Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your presence at 5442 East Lester Street in Tucson on or about May 4, 2018 without the knowledge or consent of the homeowner. Ms. Allen, is that true, false, or do you want to take the fifth?
It's true.
Okay, thank you.
I told you that specific situation, it was a misunderstanding between me and my father, and if I have any chance to actually explain myself, I would appreciate that.
Ms. Allen, you'll have an opportunity to explain yourself when we go into phase two, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Alrighty. Alright, well, based on Ms. Allen's admission, I'm going to find that she was delinquent, that she violated.
I'm sorry.
I'm just making an emotion. I'm going to find that you were delinquent, that you violated the terms and conditions of your supervision, that you may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or a company.
Second, agree, agree.
Agreement. Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agree, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, and Dr. Wright. Okay, Ms. Allen, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start off phase two and get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. And then after that, I'm going to go with some information with you and give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board. Okay?
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
April 30th, 2018, Ms. Allen was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested May 4th, 2018 by Tucson PD on a new felony charge of burglary in the third degree. She was back in DOC custody May 11th, 2018 with an adjusted with a projected community supervision end date of August 27th, 2018. Zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2017, narcotic drug violation, 1 year. Prior convictions, 2009, injury prosecution, first degree, 1.5 years. 2014, dangerous drug violation, 1.5 years. This is her third term at DOC. CUIR score 2-1, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2010, TIS release completion, 5 months. 2014, TIS release completion, 7 months. Her disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrests, 2017, failure to appear, first degree, disposition unknown. 2017, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona, disposition unknown. Our community risk score is a G3B2. I do have status of charges from Officer Gomez, dated June 5th, 2018, that states per the Pima County Attorney's Office, the charge was reviewed and refused on May 10th, 2018.
Okay.
Okay, Ms. Allen, so I see that you were released, you were approved to reside at 3447 North Calvin Apartment D in Tucson.
I'm sorry?
When you were released out of prison? You were?
Yeah.
You were approved to reside at 3447 North Calvin?
Yes.
In Apartment D. Whose residence was that?
I'm sorry?
Whose residence was that?
What's my connection with that?
Who lived in that apartment?
My boyfriend, it's my boyfriend's house, actually.
Okay. Were you staying there at the time that you were arrested?
Yeah. No, he wasn't there at the time. Because, actually, what really happened, I wanted to go see my children, and I called my dad, and I misunderstood him. They were going out on vacation. And what happened was, I asked him to show up right before they left, and he's like, no, I really don't think so, but I misunderstood him personally, because I don't know if you guys understand, but I have some mental health problems. And sometimes, I have a personality disorder. Sometimes, I'm not trying to use it as a crutch, but it was prominent, and I wasn't on the right medication. I was taking my medication as prescribed, but I just wasn't in the right frame of mind. And I was going to drop Mother's Day card, and I wanted to see the kids, but I showed up after they actually left, like an hour after they left. And me personally, I saw the back door of the truck unlocked, and I was like, well, I wanted to really well to do this like them, and I was going to lock the door, but the next time they were called the cops and said that they saw a flashlight in there, and I wasn't even carrying a flashlight. So I don't know where they got all that from, but nevertheless, this is where it ended me up, and I can't, I own up to my, and I think maybe I shouldn't have shown up on there, I should have made a better decision, I should have made a better choice, I was excited, I was very, very nervous when I got out, because I, like the gentleman said before, I've been in and out of here, and this time it's been completely humbling in many different ways, just coming back on parole. I've never felt this way before, and understanding how serious my mental health and needing on the right medication actually helps me be a productive member of society. I never took it as serious as I take it now, so it's really given me a different aspect of it, but yeah, me and my boyfriend were at 3447 North Calvin, so, and if it's still approved, he wasn't there. I had called and asked him to come pick me up, and when he had shown up, I just told him to go away, because I was going over there by myself, because it was my first time going to visit my kids. You know, I'm not trying to be mean to him, I love him, but I'm not going to love him going to visit my family right away like that. It's like a slow process, an easy process that I would rather integrate him into my family, but, you know, but enough about that. That's pretty much what happened. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous.
Okay, so why were you going to your father's, your parents' vehicle when the officer arrived?
Huh?
Why are you going to the building, your parents' vehicle, when the police officers arrived?
The thing is, I was sitting in the driver's side, and I had gone to, because I got in, because I was locking the doors, because the doors were locked on the vehicle. And I felt like that's not like them, to because they have actually what to do. They take care of my kids. My mom has a great job. My dad has a great job. I love them both. But I went to lock the door, and the next door neighbor that lives next to him said that they saw a flashlight in there. Now, we're not trying to be coy, but I don't carry a flashlight because I'm not out after dark. Like, that's not what my mind and my family mind's been like. So, the cops showed up like right after the lady called.
Okay, so when the officer arrived, according to the warrant that says that you were searching through the car, that they contacted your father, and your father said you didn't have permission to be at the house, and the father had told you that they were going to go on vacation. And you said you misunderstood your father?
Yeah, I misunderstood him, because I thought it was okay if I come see him right before they left. And it was like this, we were, okay, I was on the phone and I called them before I come over. And I talked to my dad, because I called his cell phone. And he was like, well, I don't think you're going to be able to make it here in time. And I was like, okay, well, I'll try because I'm going to catch the bus. I'm not going to have my boyfriend drop me off. He had other things he needed to get done, because life does go on when we're in here. The thing is with my family, like, I've always been an ongoing, ever since I was younger, we don't get along very well, honestly, and it was a mistake of mine to even go over there. I take responsibility for it, and I'm not going to do it again. I guess right now, the way I have to look at it, and it really hurts to think of it this way, three of my kids live with my parents, and right now I have to take a step back and not have any kind of contact with them until my kids are ready to come talk to me. And now I realize that, because I don't want to cause my parents any pain, any guts, or anything like that. That was never at all any of my point in even affecting them. I love my kids and I want them to have the best, but I also want to see them, but I can't be that selfish. And that's exactly what it was selfish.
Okay, so Ms. Allen, here's what I'm having a problem with. Your dad says the keys to his house were inside of that vehicle, and that vehicle that you were searching through.
Here's the thing. When I saw keys in there, I didn't know that they were the keys to the house. I had no idea. The only way I knew that those were the keys to the house was when the officer came up. Now, with the door being unlocked and the keys being in the car, I didn't think of anything of anybody going over and watch the house. Nobody told me that. You know what I mean? So I had no idea. But yeah, did I take them? Yes, because I didn't know what they were for, and I didn't want stuff being stolen from my parents' house. That's where my kids live, you know? And I thought I was actually protecting them.
Why did you take the keys and put them in the purse if you didn't know what the keys were to? Why did you put them in the purse?
Because I was going to go call my brother once my boyfriend came and picked me up, because he's coming to pick me up. I was going to go call my brother and have my brother take the keys. I didn't know what they were. I was just trying, like, honestly, I was not going to steal anything. I didn't even go inside the house. I didn't even know the keys before the house. All hands down, seriously. Even anybody could say it.
Okay, Ms. Allen, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions.
Okay.
No additional questions coming from the board. We're coming up on the conclusion of the hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board about repeating yourself?
I would like to say that it's my fault and I take responsibility for it. I kind of lose sleep. Like, that's neither here nor there. I know that at that time I was really, really stressed out and I have multiple diagnosis of your mental health that I need to pay attention to. And now, because of the humbleness that I've had coming back here and being here for a month, I feel that my mental health is my number one priority, so I don't make these mistakes again. My actions were befogged by the medication I was taking, and since about 3 weeks I've been on a regimen of normal medication that helps me, and I can make better choices. So I feel resentful with myself because I put myself back in prison, and I should never went that route. I would appreciate another chance, and I know I can successfully complete it because I've done it twice before, and I have no doubt in my mind I can get out of here and get right back on it. Even if I was given another 3 months on parole, that's fine. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Al. The board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, okay?
Okay. Okay.
While we're in discussion, we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you in the community supervision. You'll be able to hear the conversation taking place between the board, okay? So this is an incident where definitely Ms. Allen has completed her supervision on two other times, one for 5 months, one for 7 months. She completed her supervision. She said she contacted her dad, spoke to him on the phone, and went over there to the house. When she got there, no one was home. She was going through the car that she found was unlocked inside the car. The father said that she didn't have any permission to be at the house, nor did she have permission to enter and go through the vehicle. And the keys were actually in the vehicle, and they were located under a cuff in the console or something similar to that, and that they were on a particular key ring. When the officer told, the father told the officer that information, they searched the purse and they found the keys inside of her purse. Neighbor has seen her going through the actual car itself. The issue that I have, I know she did complete it two other times, is that she knew she wasn't supposed to be over there, and that the father said they were going to be leaving, going on vacation. And if she just went over there to see the kids and saw no one was home, she could have left. However, she did go through the car and she did find those keys. I don't know if she knew those keys were there, or she didn't know those keys were there, but they were the keys to the parents' residence. So because of that, I know she says she was unstable on her medication. She's been taking her medication since she's been incarcerated. She'll be released on August 27th of 2018. I think if she continues to stay and continue to get stabilized on her medication, I think that's going to be the best thing for her, get stabilized on her medication, then be better able to handle herself. When she gets out, she won't be on any community supervision, nor will she have to report to a parole officer at that time. That's my opinion. At this time, however, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Okay, therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Allen, find that she was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, was probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company, as she was at her parents' house without permission, and she did have possession of her parents' keys to her house, although she said she wasn't going in there. She had those possession of those keys without the permission of her parents, and she had searched the vehicle to obtain those keys.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Ms. Allen, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be
released. I'm sorry?
The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on August 27th of 2018 this year. I think it's going to be best if you stay there, get stabilized, stay stabilized on your medication. Make some arrangements with your CO3 man when you are released, that you can have your medication, continue to take your medication, and hopefully not have any negative contact with any law enforcement again. I do want to thank you, Ms. Allen, for taking the time to participate in your hearing. This is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.